All right, so I think we can get started. Hopefully everybody's there who's waiting for that session. Quite small crowd this afternoon. Probably the party was too good yesterday, so any drinks? I heard some great stories about that one. But I mean, the less people in here, the more fun for each individual of you, so that should definitely work. So today it's the Project Server and Project Online Reporting, or BI, session, right? So I would say that's the real fun part if it comes to project management, right? Because there's where we make the nice graphics and where we do all the data analysis and all of this. So I think that should be really great. Okay, so my name is Rafael Ax. I'm a Premier Field Engineer supporting our Premier customers in EMEA. So I think we'll just get started and get to all the fun part on the reporting stuff. Most of you, I think I've seen in all the other sessions of Project Server, so this would be the last session for projects in this tech ad. So we had already three sessions, one talking about the planning and reporting, so coming actually from Excel, going over a project to Project Server, Project Online, so the workflow getting into the systems. And the session from yesterday from my colleague Alexandra about project and portfolio management on that. Yeah, I think we're just working on that one, hopefully. So we might check that, okay. I just try to stick my head up and hopefully that's like gonna get better. All right, so when we're talking about BI for Project Server, for Project Professional, for EPM actually from Microsoft, I think there is lots of tools you already might heard of. So here's just a small list of these tools. I mean, if you want to impress somebody, just get that into your brain and just blow it out. Hey, this is what we can do. And we can do timelines, visual, we do Excel services, we do data, performance point, and all of this. Okay, so lots of great things. The technologies or the techniques we're working today will actually just be these. So what we care about today, not really what Microsoft cares about only, but what we care about today, because this is what we can really do. the great stuff. It sounds very odd, actually. Maybe it's a microphone? Could you just... Okay, so we're trying another microphone. Hopefully that's going to work better. Okay, so that's the stuff we really want to have a look at. So it would be talking about Excel. Probably most of you doing BI have already worked with Excel, right? So we even saw on Tuesday that many even do project management in Excel, right? So I think most of you are quite experienced in that one. Then we go to Excel services, so talking what we're doing in the web. So just trying to change the microphone and see what happens then.
Just slipping into your t-shirt a little bit.
Is it? Okay. Maybe just put it a little bit down or something.
Try and do that. Yeah.
Okay. Is it better now? Does it work? Okay. So we try that one. Hopefully we have more in the portfolio and the microphones and then we get that set. Okay. And to do reporting, especially when you have worked together with Project Online, we're more or less talking about OData to get the data out of the system. You will really see what that means later on. And then you might have heard, even in the other sessions, all of the nice Power BI tools. So here you see Power View, you might have heard of Power Pivot, Power Query, lots of power in the new BI tools. And we'll see what that really means, especially in combination with Project Online, Project Server. I think there's lots of great things here. Maybe take a short look back. So those of you who might have worked with Project Server already, so Project Server 27, 2010, 2013, they might know what it actually means doing reporting within Project Server. So mostly then we were talking about things like the OLAP cube, like the reporting database. So that was the things you were mostly actually using, and then maybe get the data out into either Excel or even any other kind of data warehouse what you might ever use. When it comes to Project Online, and we're talking a lot about Project Online these days, then we need to think a little bit different, because actually you do not have access to the databases for sure, so there's no direct access to that one when talking about the cloud, so therefore reporting DB won't work directly. Same as Project Online does not provide the ability to build an OLAP cube, so even talking to analysis services wouldn't be possible. And therefore we needed something different, something, yeah, different what just works in the cloud, and that is where we're actually talking about OData. So OData is actually data feed, XML format, where it can query the data, which actually is similar data which you were used to when talking to the reporting databases. So the data you get out, we'll see that later on, how it looks like, comes back as XML format, and then you can just use that within all the reporting tools. Okay, so that would be the technology in the background, sort of web services, when talking to Project Online and reporting. Okay, so we'll just use that. I'll show you a nice example of what that actually means. So we're doing lots of demos in that session, so just even let me know when you have any kind of questions when you see a demo, or what you have in your environment, and we can even take a look at that here. So let me flick back to my PC so that you understand what the OData actually is. So what I have here is a Project Online tenant. Okay, so all what we see, what OData can do and what it means, can even be done on the on-premise, so on project server, so you don't need to worry on that one. But I want to really show you how it works together with Project Online. So you see normal Project Online tenant with some projects, some data in it, and here, and that's where it gets important, this is the URL to that tenant. And to get access to that OData feed, to the data, we simply want to use that URL and put here API, and then we have project data. If I put that, you see it comes back with some XML structure, which actually shows you all the different collections we offer in the OData. So if you want to know what data you could really pull out, then this is already a nice starting point. So here you see, okay, we have projects, we have baselines, we have assignments, deliverables, issues, and all that great stuff. Just get that back when you put in the project data. So if you now want to even understand more, okay, so what data is inside that, that entity, so for example, for projects, then you could even simply use the metadata or have a look at the metadata. So still in the browser, just to look at that. And here you see even all the details of that entity. So for projects, this is, just zoom in so that you can see better, this is actually the data which comes back for all the projects which are in your instance. Okay? So for example, you get, if you want to need it, project ID, you get all the data within the portfolio management, you get the cost information, whatever you could dream of in projects, and that even works for all the other entities, you get back by just using that OData feed. Okay? So this is simply how to come back with that. And if I want to really pull out some data, for example, if I now already know, okay, I can come back with the projects here. So what happens if I just put in projects? If I want to see all my projects data still in the browser using that XML feed, so it works a bit small, just zoom in here. So for example, here you see one project. So this is actually what we're here. We have here, this is the GUI ID of that project. Then we have the type of the project is here, is software development management. We have, that's a little bit too big. What else do we have? Let's zoom, scroll down a little bit. So for example, the project name is here, health assessment reporting tool, and all the data which is in that single project comes back. And that's actually a list of all my projects. So I can just put that project in here, and you see another project, and that goes on and on and on. So you have all the entries, what you have in your data. For sure, with this, it would be a little bit difficult to do analysis, right? You could do copy and pasting, whatever, to some other tool and so. So it would be really a bit difficult to really use that. So the favorite tool, especially since 2013 version, to come back with some reporting based on this is Excel. Right? So when we talk about reporting, at least it always starts with Excel. So whatever tool we end with, but it starts with Excel. And just to show you how that actually looks like within Excel. So I just use that that URL, open Excel. Here it is, open a blank workbook, and actually just add, you see here from other sources, and here it is from OData data feed. So just go to Excel and put that, and then link that to this OData feed, click on Next, and creating the data source. So you see here, it's just getting the table list, so even all the entities we have, here it is. So all the different entities coming back from that OData feed. And if, for example, I want to see the same information I actually had in my browser, so the project information, just make that a little bit bigger here, I can just have a look at that project data set and create my data connection and say, okay, yeah, just put that in into my Excel file, and then it comes back. Here you see it's now retrieving the data, it's loading a little bit, and here it comes back with all that information for all the projects. Okay? So here I see my UIDs, and if I want to understand, this is the project types. And here is all the data, all the columns we have, actual duration, actual cost, so all the columns you have for projects comes back within Excel. So this is where it already starts with. For sure, you could also think now, hey, well, I mean, I want to have a look at all the projects, for example, of a specific type. So it's simply use standard Excel features saying, yeah, please come back with all the merger and acquisition projects, and then you have that list quite stripped out. Okay, so quite simple. We could might want to call this reporting, but still it's kind of a starting point, okay? But still you have now all the project data. We could for sure do the same even with tasks. So for example, if I not only want to see that project data, but want to have more information, for example, all of my tasks. So let's do that again with my data feed, getting all the tables, and then have a look at the task information. Comes back here, so here is the task information. If I click finish, it creates that data source, and then put that into that table as well. And then here you see it retrieves all the data. Retrieving data, it's loading, lots of, you could imagine, right? So we saw a list of projects, that's around 50 projects, and the list of tasks, so we have around 100 to 200 tasks for that example tenant per project. So you could really imagine he's now loading lots of data. Okay, you see? So it took around maybe 10, 15 seconds in this example. So therefore, when talking about OData, for sure we understand that this is coming back from the web, right? So if I have lots of data to load, it will take some time. Okay? So there must be a method to shrink all that down. Okay, because otherwise, for example, think about assignment data. So you know we can have millions of assignments within a project tenant, so about task and resource assignments, and that would take us hours to load all that data. So there must be an option to really filter that, to really work with that data. And that's very important to understand if you want to create great reports, which even your management might like, because think of when you create a report and your manager opens that report and it refreshes for half an hour or something like that, probably he will not really like that report, okay? So for sure we could now filter that here, but again, think of when you refresh, it always needs to load all the data. So that doesn't make too much sense. So we want to need to know how that actually works. And OData supports all that filtering, supports all that selecting, but it might be, and there's even a documentation on that, so hundreds of pages you might want to read, but it might be a little bit difficult to understand the syntax of OData if you have not really worked with it before. And there is actually a nice tool which could really help you with that, and that's what I want to show you today. Because so that's called LinkPad. Who has actually heard of LinkPad already? Does it somebody know? One at least, so that's a very good starting point. Nobody else? Okay, so then I will just show you what it actually does. So I will open it. It's a really great tool, actually. I like that very much. And I use that even for preparing my report. And that's how it looks like. Okay, so on the left side, we see we are able to create connections to actually different data sources. So it's not only working for OData, it's working for SQL databases, working for lots of stuff. So you could just create a connection here, save your queries here, and on the right side I just have my query. I can just write in what I want. So quite easy and simple tool. Just want to show you the power of how that actually works. So what I do first is creating that connection. And if I open that connection, it already helps me a lot, because what I see here is all the different data types I have with coming back from that old data feed. Okay, so similar to what you saw in the browser, but much more easy to use. Okay, and I can even see the details. For example, if I want to know what entities I have within my projects, what columns I actually have, just could look into it. Okay, so it comes back with project ID, enterprise project type, description, and all of that different columns you really have coming back from that old data feed. So really, really easy to understand how to work with the feed itself. So for example, if we want to now see how that actually works, so thinking about the tasks again. Right, so as I said, well, loading all the 2,000 whatever tasks or 20,000 tasks might take a little bit and even creates a lot of data load. So if I want to now use that link path to shrink that down so that I don't need to think of, okay, how does actually now this old data feed look like with all the filters? So thinking about an example, like I want to understand the baseline data behind my task. So what actually has been initially planned and how does it match to what is right now in my project? So kind of finished variances. Okay, so kind of typical report what we want to have. And how this is works, you see, you can access the task baseline data here from the old data feed as well. So if I would like to come back with all the task baselines, yeah, again, so then it would be lots of data. So how it now works with LinkPad is kind of an easy query I can create. So I simply say, okay, this table with the baseline data is called task baseline. So I say, okay, get me from that table, so that's just a name I want to like, so task baselines, in this task baselines table, so it's called like that. Then where I want to just have the baseline zero numbers, actually. I don't want to have all the baselines, but just my current baseline where I'm planning with. So that's simply where the task baseline number is zero. Okay, so that comes back with my baseline zero data. And then I select that into a new table where I can then work with that data on. So say I want to have the project name. I want to have the task name to understand all that information, and I want to have the task baseline finish date so that I understand, okay, what has been initially planned and for which tasks, okay? So to just know out of your mind how that actually works with OData might be a bit complex if you're not used to use OData. So now we see what comes back with just using it. So press F. There is something wrong. Ah, I need to select the connection over here, that it connects correctly. If I press F5, it gets the data for that specific filter, and here comes back with some examples. So what would come back if I run that? But just the top 100 items, so it doesn't pull out all the data to not let you wait too long. And if I now want to see how that comes back with OData, so how the feed, how the command actually looks like for OData, just click on the request log, and here you see how it would look like. Okay? So this is how, for example, you filter in OData. This is how you select the columns and all this. So this is quite easy if you're simply used to either use SQL queries or really link queries actually are behind that. Okay, so for me, as I'm used to use SQL queries in the past, it was very easy to go to that structure instead of understanding, hey, how do I really work with that OData thing? Okay, and so this simply comes back for me with an easy OData feed. And if I just want to use that, so say copy this one and go back to Excel again. Let me just open a new file here. And now use that feed, so say from OData feed, like this, say next, getting a table list, and you see it now only comes back with one table instead of all the tables we had. Okay, so only for that task baseline information I just asked for, click that one, click finish, and say yes, please put it in my Excel file, and then it loads the data. See retrieving all the data, and now you see it doesn't download all the data what we had before, it's just the data I really selected for and the data I'm interested in. This is actually the important thing, right? Because why pulling all the data if you don't need it in the report later on? Okay, So this is, let's say, the basics to understand how reporting in Project Online would really work. Okay, so really working with that old data, so you need to understand how that works to be able to build your reports. Okay, so now that's my basic Excel file. And now coming back to, well, I would say an example we see at many customers, right? If they do project management and Project Server and Project Online, because what they normally require is a report which shows them a comparison between what has been initially planned for my major milestones. So they have projects, most of the projects have kind of phases, so the most important phases these projects are running in. And these phases normally end with one very specific milestone which fits to the project management strategy these companies have. Okay? And therefore, we want to create a report which simply shows me the variation between what I have been initially planned for my milestones and what is the status right now. Because you know, you need to understand what really happens to your projects to be able to identify the problematic project in some way. Okay, so how would that really work? So if we look at an example, so what I actually just did is if we go back to our Project Online tenant so that you know what the basic data will look like. So we simply created a custom field to match with that. So simply to be able for each task, so here it is, major milestone, there it is. So on task level, we just have that custom field, which makes me able to simply select, yeah, this is a major milestone, and this should come into my report. Okay, because if I would not be able to have any kind of filter field, it would be very difficult. And this is how I really select that kind of milestones. And then looking at an example project, so just opening Project Pro, and here you see how it would look like in such a project. So that project has some phases. So we have, for example, an initial kickoff phase, we have a budgeting phase, a resourcing phase, further planning phase, and all this. And here, just delete that one, and here I have that column major milestone. Okay, where I simply select for these milestones we have here, yeah, this is the initial, or this is the major milestone for that phase. Okay, so for each of these, you see here, that one has a yes in there, that one has a yes in there. So the project manager could easily select which of these major milestones I want to have in my report. Okay? You could even use a template to have already that phases and major milestones in there. So that's normally how it works. So just closing that. And then show you how to create a nice report now, because it would be very easy to open each of these individual projects and see now, yeah, is that phase on track, is it not, and something like that. So we want to create a nice Excel report based on that. So therefore, again, coming back to LinkPad, and here we have a query which simply looks like that. So from the tasks table, you remember that was the big one with the millions of entries, which took us some seconds to load. I just want to understand the tasks which have that major milestone like where it is true, so here it is, which is not like false, so where it's true. And then I want to have the project name, I want to have the task name, if it's major milestone, the task finish date, and a finish variance. Because the variance then later will be that field which shows me, has there been a difference between what I have initially planned and what it is right now. All of that is, again, working with the baseline information. So there is how project calculates that variance. So just see if that query works. So hopefully if I did nothing wrong. So here it loads the data, and here you see already some examples again. So that would be the project. Here is the different tasks. You see all of these is just a major milestone. We have a finish date, and we have the variance data in here. Okay, so that's how the results would look like. And what I do is simply, again, take me that request log and go back to Excel again. So you see Excel is getting really, really important for all that, what we do. And then use the same old data feed, but it just copied. Finish, getting that table. Now coming back with the task information, saying yes, I want to see that. And then it just loads. Okay, so here is how it looks like in Excel. And then we could also do some nice reporting on that one. But what we want to do now to create a nice report on that is using pivot tables in first place. Okay, that's always a good starting point. So we simply insert a new pivot table based on this table. It automatically selects that if I'm in there and say, hey, please put that to a new worksheet. And if I now take in my project name, so for example here, that's how it looks like. If I now put in the task name like that, so it already looks quite nice, and then put in my finish date. And for sure, I don't want to see the count here, because for sure it's only one for that one. But for example, have the max information, and then it already comes back with some numbers at least, so it looks better like before. But still, I need to just format that. Where it is, number format, here it is. And say, no, this is not just a number, this is a date. I want to have to look that as a date. You see, now this already looks quite nice. So I see, okay, for these projects, or for this project, that milestone ends at this date, that at this date, and so on. So this already looks like nice. It's quite a nice starting point, but still, I want to see the difference. So is there any variance here? I could drill into the data for sure and see the variances individually, but that wouldn't really help me in first place. I really want to have some indicators. So say, hey, if that has been a big variance, it should be red. It should tell me that directly in first place. I want to see that. And how I do that is quite easy, actually. It just creates, so remember we had that finish variance field. I just create a new pivot table. So say that into a new worksheet. And now I do the similar thing. So put in a project name here, put in the task name here. And now instead of using the finish date, I simply use the finish variance. Okay, now it already looks a little bit different in here. And so what we actually can do right now is if you already know, let's say, some new features we added in 2010 and even optimized in 2013, we could now simply use the conditional formatting to optimize our pivot table. Because what I actually do just right now, I say, hey, I want to, if that has a variance, I just want to use Excel to show me, hey, this should come back with red, green, or whatever. So simply create a rule for this field and say, all cells having this should use a formula to determine. And now I simply use the other pivot table. So going back to this sheet and say, if that column, which is like that, so that was B5, if that column is, for example, so this is actually hours, so variance in hours, so it would be 360 hours less variance in this case. So for example, if that is greater than 160 hours of variance, I think that's already quite of a bad number if you want to have that, because that's 20 days of variance, then that column should be, or that field should be green. So looking, should be red, because that's bad, okay? We already see what happens. So for the fields, just to check that, for this project, MM5, and this milestone to see if that's correct, it here says, yeah, that milestone has 480 hours of variance. Okay, so that comes back in my report directly in the first view. I do the same, saying conditional formatting. I can do that from manage rules to make it easier. I'd simply copy that formula and say, okay, create a new rule. Do the same here for all the cells, use a formula, and say, okay, if that is bigger than zero, it should be yellow, like that. And say, okay. And if that is like that, that formula, if that is smaller than zero, it could simply be green. Put it like that. And see how it works right now. What we have seen is it has now overwritten some of the rules, so we need to manage the rules again and just put that red rule in first place, the yellow one in second place, and say, okay, if that is true, just stop it here, stop it there, and here, just remove that one, and here you see how an easy report simply shows me the variances of my milestones. Okay, so I think that's already quite a big step from what we had before. What we could do with, let's say, simple Excel features, simply use that OData feed and create a nice report based on that. And we can easily even, so I just save that file, we can easily use that report even to publish it to some other people. Just save that on my PC, say that's a major milestone report. So for sure, there is no need to send that out by email then later on. There would be kind of an effort to be able to have everybody on the same stage. So what I can simply do is take that file, go back to my PWA, and I have a library here where I can simply put all my reports so that everybody has access to that one, and say, where it is, put it here, and I have a folder just for the TACAD, put it in there, and just upload that major milestone I just created right now, and open that. So it opens in Excel Online, and you see the same report I had on my client looks nearly the same, I would say really the same, even in SharePoint. Right? So simply use Excel Online to publish that report, and now you could simply use the SharePoint sharing features and publish that report to everybody else. Right? So quite simple to work with that reporting data. Okay, so that's the easy reporting. So simply using Excel features, getting data back from my project online, and using Excel uploading it to SharePoint. Is there any question for that first simple ones, and then we get into some more details in here? As you've seen, just basic Excel features in the end using conditional formatting, and then we had a nice report. Okay, looks good. Because then I want to show you what I discussed in the first slide, actually, some of these nice new features coming with Excel 2013, which is all that nice Power BI stuff. Because this is actually where, I would say, where the fun part starts in the end, right? So where there's really cool things, cool new features, what we can do. So because one of the problems, one of the major problems in here is what you've seen is we simply used a single table. You remember? So we used the projects table. So just get all the projects data. We used the task baselines data. We used the task table. So always single tables. And as you know, not all the data is available in just all that single tables. So we would need to have an option to bring different tables together. For sure, we could use different data connections and try to bring that into one Excel sheet and then do some crazy stuff. But actually, for exactly that, we could use one of these nice new Power BI features, which is Power Pivot. Okay, because this is exactly designed to do exactly that, bringing data together from different tables, from different data sources, to create a nice report based on that. So an example of what we want to do, as for example, the tasks table does not really provide information on the project type where it comes from. So it has a project name, for example, but it doesn't provide information on what type is that project. Is that a merger project? Is that an IT project? Whatever. So we want to need the projects table, which contains that information. We want to bring that together with that task table and do some nice reporting with that one to be able to filter it. So what I did is preparing an Excel file with that data connection. So just this is the Excel file. So if we look at the data connections like that, you see that it contains three different data connections, so three different data sets actually in the end. So we have the projects data set, so coming back with the projects data filtered for some, we'll just show that later on. Then we have the tasks table, and I even added the time set table, which actually includes just timing information. So pure timing information, because I want to do some filters later on the timing, so I would need that information as well. So this is quite easy and straightforward, I think. And how do we actually bring now these tables together? And for exactly that, we could use Power Pivot. So Power Pivot is actually an add-in which automatically comes with Excel 2013. Okay, so you might already have seen that. If you go to your Excel 2013 installation and go to Options, so if you're missing that ribbon, and then go to Add-ins, and here, if I have a look at my COM add-ins, you see the Power Pivot add-in within your Excel. So you could simply enable that if you have Excel 2013, and then try the examples we had. So I just already enabled that one, and if I click on Manage here, you will see it just opens another, let's say, Excel-like format. Okay, and you see the same information coming from my data sheet, so from my data set. So this is the project data set, for example. I have my task data set with some information in here. And now I want to just link these data set, and exactly for that reason, Power Pivot comes with a so-called diagram view. Within the diagram view, I see all the tables which I have in here and can now link the data based on my needs. Because what I want to link is my projects with my tasks, because here in my projects, I have the enterprise project type name. That contains what type of that project I have. And I can simply link the project IDs I have in my tasks with what I have in my projects. Okay? And then I could simply use the time by day. I want to do some filtering later on with that task finish date. Okay? So it simply looks like that finally. If I close that and go now back to my data connections, have a check, that seems to be fine. And what I can now do simply is adding another pivot table again based on that data I really linked. And now you will see how it looks like if I can now simply use my data source here. And now I don't use a single data source as we did it before. You see here we have a tables tab. And if I click on that one, I see that, and that's actually then coming from the data model of the Power Pivot, I see that Excel created that additional data model with the three tables. If I click on that, so I've chosen that one, and I say, yeah, put that into here. And then you see here that it now includes all the three tables. Okay? Remember in mind with that connection I just created. And for example, just to see how it looks like, so if I want to have the project name in here, so see which projects I have, I put that here, so I see all my projects. Then I have, for example, I want to see from the tasks some cost information because I want to have some nice cost reporting. Put that here. So for example, here now I see how expensive actually my projects are. And if I want to match that with some nice work information to see, okay, what work is actually behind that project and to compare it with my cost information, I could simply add that from here. So you see the information coming from different tables, but I could put that into a single pivot table and now work with that pivot table to create some nice additional reports. So for example, if I want to, based on that pivot table, simply create a pivot chart to make it more look like, well, what we actually finally desire or what our managers might maybe want to see finally. So I can simply create a pivot chart based on that data. For example, if I select combo chart here so that it looks like that, so the task cost I want to have on that axis, the task work, for example, should be on a secondary axis to be able to better compare it. If I click on OK, so we're no longer really interested in what happens in the background and behind. So here you see, based on all the projects you have, the costs, which are on the left axis, and the work, which is on the right axis, so we can easily compare what actually happens in your company. And what we can even do, you remember that we added some time information. I can simply use the slicers. And now it comes back with all the data. So for example, I could add that slicer for the project name so they can filter easily where we do have it. It's here for the project name. It looks like that. So I could now say, hey, I'm only interested in, for example, that project and that project. And you see that it filters automatically the pivot chart, which is connected with that one. Remove that, and even if we want to add the time information, so I could insert that nice timeline based on the finish date here, and then it looks like that. Come on, like that. Make it a little bit bigger here, and then we can simply filter based on the timing our chart on top. Okay, so if I'm only interested, for example, in the cost information of the year 2014, I can simply say, hey, please only show me the January to December. And then the chart automatically filters to actually that data. Okay. So again, quite easily clicking together the data I need coming back from my OData feed. So remember, that's all project online in the background with the OData. Bringing that into a pivot table, which is always the basis of all the further analysis we actually want to do, and then create the charting I really need. Okay, so you could really think of whatever you really want to do, like. Okay, so this is really, again, kind of basic things what we could do. And this is the, let's say, basic thing what we can do with Power BI. So this has been Power Pivot in the beginning. So to give you some more details on what's actually behind all that power stuff, as you have heard lots of that things right now. So why does Microsoft actually invest in all that stuff? Just flipping back to here. Because what we, or what you definitely have already seen, is that the world of data is really changing. And that means, if we look at the numbers of the last, I would say, 5 years, what we definitely have seen is the amount of data increases massively, you know? Because, I mean, I'm not that old, but still, I remember times where it was lots of, where my disks were about 10 megabytes, right? Or 20 megabytes, and there was already a big disk in my PC, you know? And today, we just put into personal computers disks like 5 terabytes or something like that, so easily still could fill it up. So, I mean, 10 years ago, nobody thought that we could fill 1 terabyte with data, but easily, just with personal data. And now think of how it comes for companies, for all the data what we need. Add this even with all the social components, right? So that everybody is now using all the social things and putting into feeds, and so lots of data, and we need to have options to analyze all that data. And with the, let's say, old style kind of reports and BI, it was simply not possible. So we need new tools, we need new options to really work with that data. And for that reason, we're investing into that Power BI tools. And there is actually more or less three of them. So I just wanted you to understand the terms, what's really behind that. So actually, everything starts with getting the data, right? Because you need to have a method to really come to the data you need. And the Power BI tool for getting the data is Power Query. With Power Query, which is even within Excel, what we have seen slightly already, you simply could just get all the data you need, combine it as you want to do a report later on. The next step would then be link the data as it fits together. So what we have seen just with that easy example in the last slide. Okay, so linking the table together as it fits together to analyze that data model, what you then just created. So that's Power Pivot, bringing that data together. And finally, for sure, we want to visualize that data. And to visualize the data, we have Power View. And we will see that even later on, how Power View actually works and what it means to work with a large amount of data, what we can do with that Power View stuff. And if you think about Project Online, then again, actually what we do, or the Project Online BI story, is actually based on the SharePoint BI story. So if you're using lots of SharePoint stuff, then you might have even heard that all what we have within Excel, so all these Power BI features, is now even available within SharePoint. All right, so you could add everything what we can see, and we'll see that later on how that really looks like. Okay, some really, really powerful BI features within Project Online and SharePoint. And give you some further examples. So as I said, lots and lots of demos. So going back to my PC to see how all that comes together. If we're talking about this nice Power BI stuff. So we've seen Power Pivot before. So what we now can do is have an example on Power View, what's really behind this. Because even that is a nice report I've seen lots of times even with customers, because it's really a good idea on how to visualize data. Because graphs, we already know, right? So all the charts and pivot charts and all of that. So that's, I mean, cool stuff, but still, so that's kind of old-fashioned, I would say. So what we could do now, so in this example, for example, I want to have an overview on where my projects are actually all executed. Okay, so that you, for example, understand that the highest amount of projects executed in Berlin, Okay, so if you're the portfolio manager, you might want to head to Berlin because all the projects are, or most of the projects, is sitting there. Okay, so that we have a nice mappy overview to really show me all the projects I'm having, and for example, even combine that with my cost information. So all the most expensive projects, I want to sit nearby because I want to control that as a project manager or portfolio manager. Okay, so how could we really do that? And that's Power View, so what we see right now. So what I have in my data, so going back to my PWA instance, and here it is, LinkPad again. So as you see, to create all that queries, LinkPad is always your friend. Because what I have is another LinkPad query, and I have added to my project's office information, which means really where are these projects majorly based? Okay, so where is the most important people for these projects? And what I get back is that office information here, which is actually, again, a custom field. So you see even all your custom fields come back within the old data feed. I want to see my project name, how costly they are, where they are based, and which type they actually contain of, and how many work is in there. So just want to execute a query to see if that works. And here you see how it looks like, so all the different projects, how expensive they are. So that's the cost in dollars, so where are they based. Then we have the project type, and we have the amount of work. So all the information I require for my project. Again, I just take the request log, copy that, and go back to Excel to create my basic report. Just open Excel. Just close that, save a little bit. So there it is. Open a workbook, and again, create that data connection. So insert from other sources or data feed, and click Next. Getting my project information, and that's getting added now to my Excel data model, and that's how it looks like in Excel, so quite similar to what we've seen before. What we can do now is, if you have a view at the insert, and then here, we have that nice Power View button. Okay, and that's getting really interesting, especially when we have that location information. Because if I click on Power View, again, similar to Power Pivot, it opens a separate sheet and just loads that data into the data model. And here, it looks like what we had in Excel before with a little bit other coloring. So it looks quite kind of nice already, but still similar to what we have before. But look what happens if I click on the Map button here. Because there it becomes really interesting with the information I have. So simply selecting the table and clicking on that map, just getting the slicers away from here. Oh, come on. Just having the project name and the map. So once again, putting this here, click on the map, and here. It loads. Is there anything? All right, now I see that. Okay, I need to take the other one where the data is in, because without any data, it shouldn't work. Let's take that. And take the office here, and now. Is it? Should, because there is some project here in Berlin. I'll just check that. Interesting. Because as we've seen in the tables, there has been some projects. Maybe just load the data again. So maybe there's something missing here. Just closing that. Getting Excel. And that old data feed, like that, where it is. Because what it actually does, it maps the data what we have here with the information we have on Bing. So it tries to find these. So maybe they have removed Berlin or Moscow from Bing, but hopefully not. So we just check that again. Just insert the power view here. I want to have that map. Then we find it. Just remove this. Because at least that one should show up. Seems to be some issues with the network connection here, because so we should see some projects here. Just for that office locations. Interesting. Okay, but never mind. So hopefully, I mean, what should happen in here is actually that it comes back with the location we put in here, because this is what you can do with the mapping here. You could show PowerView, okay, there is where my projects are, and please put this into your location information. And then the report should show back in the map itself. And you could even use whatever data map you have in your environment. So the default is Bing, but for sure you could even use other mapping tools in there, or even other background information in there. So I even have seen some nice reports using like whatever a football field showing information in one goal in the other side and all this. So some really, really nice reports based on that background information. And then simply you could add that information to whatever map you have. Let me just check that filtering, like here. Okay. So it's really strange that it didn't. Sorry? To select a measure. True. That was in the. Ah, there it is. Okay. That was missing. I thought I did that in the past. So what I wanted to, yeah, so give me that in the cost. Come on. Then we add the cost here. Yeah, thank you. So that's what we want to do. So now we see the information in here. And what I wanted to add another filter is the project name in here. Another, let me just make that a bit smaller. And filter based on the project type. That's what we are using here. And then, so we see whatever we have, and then we only see the information we want to really see in that map information. And the good thing is, if we want to use that in the web, so the same information is even working when we upload that to SharePoint again, right? And that's when we just save that. Let me just do that. And save that here and upload that. Just check. Yep, okay. So just close that, saving here and upload. So map. Okay. And then when you go back to my PWA instance again, like here, and could simply upload that file here. And again, open that one in Excel online, just show everything, to enable the data connections. And then it should look like the same what we had before. So here we got the map, and all of that happens in the browser. So you get all the information, you get all the working report. Right? So whatever you just had before. The good thing is, because there is what it comes back to when we've seen before, that everybody actually has around 4 to 5 different devices where he wants to access the same report information, actually, because for sure it now works here in the browser, but I even want to have that working on any other device. And therefore, so this, if you right-click, you see that. This is actually because if you right-click, nothing happens, and that's why, because that's based on the Silverlight, okay? So that's now running in the Internet Explorer, so it's working fine. But what now, if you might have some other tools like the Microsoft tools, right? If you want to use that on your iPad, for example, on some other devices, or even on your mobile phone, you might have some issues with the Silverlight. And therefore, all of this PowerView reports even work with a new version of the HTML5. So this is now, see the map is looking a little bit different, but the report itself is actually the same, right? But just with, if I right-click right now, you see now it's simply HTML. Okay, so you could use the same report on any other device, and it has the full features as we had before, so filtering for project type, you see here, we only have these projects, so it really, really has the same feature set than what you're used to on all the on what we had in Silverlight before. Okay, so I think that really helps by just using any device you just want to have, because that should work for all these. So if we're talking about all the power features again, I even want to show you some more features within SharePoint. So we've seen Excel itself, so that's working on your client again, but what now if we want to bring that even to others, and if we want to help them to understand our data? Because now we know how the report works, but if everybody else understands that, we're not really, or we might not be really sure. And for that one, again, we're using the PowerView features. Okay, so if I go back to this, go back to my BI center, click on that. So we have this this report in here, and to go further with that one, we simply use Power BI. Okay, so when you try to enable Power BI first in your, for example, Office 365 or SharePoint Online, so we click on the site contents to see that it's there, and then you see you have some Power BI in here. If you click on that one the first time, it asks you, hey, I want to enable some features and blah, 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 blah. So I already did that, so we won't see that in the first place. But that's what happened. You simply click on Enable Now, and then it comes back with that Power BI list. And so if I click on that, as I said, all of that based on SharePoint. So we see our Power BI libraries and get some nice examples. So what you could really do if you don't have any, let's say, any clue on how the Power BI works in SharePoint, or if you don't have any data in here, you could simply click on Add Samples, and then it comes back with some nice information, with some nice samples, and you could just try out what's meaning by that reporting. But what we do is really use my own data, because I created that report, so you remember that mapping information. And you see here, Power BI even understands all the data connections and all the reports you've uploaded to your project online tenant. Okay, so we see all the data connections we have by default, and we see all the reports we have uploaded, because here you even see the TechEd Europe reports folder. So that's similar. So that's simply the thing we just had before. And here I even have my PowerView Office projects example, and I can even click on that. I'll ever enable that one. Okay. And just to show the report itself, how it looks in Power BI within SharePoint. So there it loads. And you see the loading looks nicer now, right? So that's what's at least a good starting point. It shouldn't take too long, so there is not so many data within. there's something happening here. There it is. Okay. All right. Okay. So you see, even after enabling, that's what I actually wanted to show, after enabling Power BI on that file, the report itself, in first place, looks the same. Right? Okay. So that's the first thing we want to understand. So we could simply use like we're used to the others. But what you could do with that file then, so I just go back to my library, because that's then really getting interesting in how SharePoint understands your data now, because there it's really where the fun part actually starts. So going back to my library, because as I've seen that the first time, I was really, really impressed how that actually works, because I have these three little points to open the options for that Excel file, and what you see here is some nice things actually. So I could add that to the feature report. So what that means is it just comes up in the first place, and you could simply say, hey, that's my greatest report ever, so that everybody could click on that. The interesting thing is here as well, I could even schedule a data refresh for that file, because otherwise, in other reports, if you want to refresh the data, you need to click on data and refresh the file, and then it refreshes on demand. But as I said, depending on the amount of data, it could even take some time. So if that's something you don't want to, if that's something you don't want, then you can even schedule that data refresh so that Power BI does that on your behalf in the background. So that is always refresh data when somebody opens that report. So that's even already quite nice. But what's even nice is this add to Q&A. So that was actually kind of recently added feature. And if we click that, so what does that actually mean, Q&A? Yeah, well, maybe we just talk about that file later on in the last 15 minutes. Maybe, yes. But what's really behind that one, if I click on add to Q&A, so this is now added to Q&A, you see that nice little link on the right here, which says ask with Power BI Q&A. And if I click on that, even if I don't really know how the structure of that report looks like, so if I click on that Excel file, I could watch that, but here I could actually simply ask Power BI questions about the data I have. You see, so that looks actually like Bing search. Right, so what it really does, it analyzes the data we have here. You see, so we have our workbook, and tries to help you by simply using, let's say, standard language. Okay, so you don't need to understand how that report looks like. So for example, if you want to understand all the projects which have total costs more than $1 million, you simply ask Power BI for that. So you say, okay, give me all the projects with the total cost, so you see it already analyzed, total cost greater than $1 million, like that. Okay, so it simply comes back with the solution down here. Okay, so without really knowing what's in there, you could simply try out whatever question you want to understand, or even, for example, if I want to understand all the projects, so like the projects with an office building. So you see all the projects, and I want to add the things in Moscow. So here we see we have even more projects, and then for these projects, I want to show the cost information that I'm trying to understand. So you see how that works, okay? And like work, like that, for example, and tries to create that nice report for us as well. So it simply loads the data in the background. Okay, so simply with kind of natural language, I could ask Power BI for the questions I have about my data. And I mean, to be honest, what we did in the background is simply creating our data source based on the old data feed and the data we had in Project Online, creating that Excel file, publishing that to Power BI, or actually only uploading it and saying, hey, this is my file with all the information. You could now imagine what really happens when you have lots of data within your environment. And you could simply tell anybody, hey, you don't need to know where is your report. You simply need to know the question you have. Okay? And this should normally be possible for everybody, that he knows what he's really trying to find out, right? And so this is really a feature in the end, which could help us with whatever we could really dream of in that situation. Okay, so simply ask a question, and Power BI is trying to find you the right answer. Okay, and don't need to think about, because even Power BI gives you help with all the data which is there, because you see that he always proposes answers in here. So with a name like that, or if you type in with Office in Moscow, and if you want to see a line chart on that, simply type, hey, I want to have a line chart on that, and then it comes back with that charting type. Okay? Or if I want to have a pie chart, which might make more sense here, coming back with that pie chart, oops, that, and it comes back with a pie chart. Right? So we could really play around. I love to play around with this, actually, all of the time, so it's really coming back with a mapping, coming back with whatever we could really think of. Okay? And to me, this is where the real fun starts. So if I show that to portfolio managers, if I show that to CIOs and say, hey, this is where you get your data. You don't need to think about somebody created a report, whatever. Just push it to Power BI and say, hey, add this to my search, and there it is. Simply could answer that question. Any questions to that? Should I type in some questions or any? Oh, that's actually a good question. I don't know. I need to find it out. But I can. So just drop me an email. I'll give you my business card later on, and then we'll find that information. I don't know out of my mind, but it should support some. I can even try German if you like. If you like me, so let me. So that would be projects. It doesn't understand that right now. But I think we're working on this, I guess. It might be even related to the language within SharePoint, because this is an English tenant for Office 365. So depending on the language of the tenant we have, it might even support different languages. So that should be what we have in there. But I'll find it out. Okay?
Can the results be extracted or snapshot?
Yes. Yes. You could simply pull out that data again and then do a snapshot and send it to somebody, yeah. Put it to a PowerPoint, for example, if you wanted, and if somebody likes PowerPoint still as reporting tool, some do, right? So some do project management with PowerPoint, actually. All right, so have their Gantt chart in PowerPoint, then update that once a month, and then, hey, this is our project management. I say, nice, yeah, it's a good starting point, actually, but we might talk about something else. Anything else? You mean in SharePoint on-premise?
Yes.
So currently no update. I don't know if something's coming on that one. So what you know about SharePoint Online and all of this, right? So it's getting updated continuously. And so you can't really compare SharePoint on-premise to what we have on SharePoint Online, because this is always updated, and on-premise needs to wait for service packs or for CUs to get updated. So right now, no. Any other question? Because otherwise, I will even be available at the Ask the Experts tonight. Right? So if, for example, so we even have a tech booth for Project Online at the Ask the Experts. So if you want to play around with that as well, we could for sure do. So simply come to our kiosk where it says Project. And then I have two other colleagues even sitting there and helping you with all that nice BI questions. And I think really this is where the fun starts. So this is where we get the data out. No, not on this topic in this tech ed. But there is videos actually on the TechNet. I can even send some links on that one, on that videos and information on that one. So, but there is lots of information about this out there, actually, in the web, and how that really works, and you could even play that around. And there is even, for the Power BI, so there is a demo license available for that one, so you could simply enable that for your tenants, and then could just try it out on your own if you want. But as I said, so if you want to try it today or tomorrow, so we will be even there tomorrow at the project booth. So if you want to try that out, you have 1.5 days to go to just drop by and try it out with us. Are we good then for today? Because then I think we see ourselves at the party tonight. Hopefully everybody has orange wristband already. If not, just come to the booth, drop by, and I will definitely be able to help you out with that one, so that we have some more time to chat about Project Server. Okay. So remember to fill out the evals. This is very important to me, right? So that I know if you liked the sessions or if you didn't. You might tell that, might not. If you want, whatever you like. Okay. If you want to have my manager talk with me, then you can. If you didn't like, right? Okay, but otherwise, just drop by and we'll just have a chat and talk about the BI stuff. Thank you very much, Dan, for that.